Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lil Tullis, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can I have 5 minutes to work on my hair?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, of course, for making your way here and checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you get to keep up with all the interviews that we put out every week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can do so at any of the places you get podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of the guests that have been on recently include Slater Kinney. We had Jack Antonoff of Bleachers. He dropped by. Actor Peter Capaldi and Tom Mucci stopped in to discuss Criminal Records. Let's see, McKenna Grace was here. She's in the new Ghostbusters movies. Janelle Monáe, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Dolly Parton. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And a huge favor, while you're subscribing, give the series a rating and leave a comment wherever you're listening from. That's one of the best things you can do to help a podcast like this out. Rate and review and subscribe wherever you're listening from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, so excited, going to be talking with actor Michael Shannon and musician Jason Narduzzi. They are on tour together with a full band covering REM's Murmur in full for its 40th anniversary. Now, of course, Michael Shannon, you know from, geez, there's so many movies I could pick from, The Shape of Water, Revolutionary Road, most recently with George and Tammy. Jason Narduzzi, he spends time with Bob Mould and Superchunk. He's got his own thing called Split Single, which I'm a huge fan of. We're going to discuss why they decided to cover the classic 1983 LP Murmur, how they found the album Document as their entry point when they were younger, and how the cooler music would actually find them in their youth. Michael Shannon also talks about some of the challenges of deciphering Michael Stipe's lyrics, while Jason will joke about a few of Peter Buck's more difficult guitar parts as well. The pair will also let us know that they plan to play more than just the debut album. In fact, the follow-up Reckoning is going to get a spotlight as well. And I'll ask about the possibility of Michael Shannon doing another album with his band Corporal. It's all that and more. We're talking REM and touring the 40th anniversary of Murmur. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey.
So here you guys are. You're doing touring. This is the first time you've toured together, right? So this is exciting. But, you know, I don't know if you guys can see this behind me. You know, I've got all the posters and everything. And, of course, Stipe kind of sits over my shoulder. We're taping this on his birthday. I don't know if that was planned on you guys, but today's his 64th birthday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
So it's kind of nice. So for the people who don't know, why are you covering Murmur? Because it kind of lines up with last year's anniversary, right?
Yeah, Jason, Jason was kind of poking me about doing a show and asking what we should do. And then, yeah, he was the one who came up with it. He said, you know, it's the 40th anniversary of Murmur this year. And, I mean, not that I've ever been entirely comfortable with any of the projects we picked out, but that one I felt was particularly daunting. I think I was, didn't I respond like, are you sure? Or I don't know.
Well, I knew you loved the band. And yeah. That part was, yeah.
But it was just kind of like, it was kind of like saying, hey, why don't we paint the Mona Lisa? Or
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'll get my watercolors and meet you in the garage. I was pretty terrified, but you know, I mean, I guess when they made the record, they were all fledgling musicians themselves. So I was like, well, at least we're not trying to do a record 20 years into their career. Anyway, that's how it started.
Do you all remember, Jason, like for you, do you remember like when this record impacted you? Because I came onto REM a little bit later, but, you know, catching up and hearing about, especially when people found them in the early 80s or mid 80s or, you know, whenever it was for you, but especially this record, like, do you remember that moment for you?
I do. And it's Mike and I, it's the same record. So I was going to high school in Evanston, and my friends and I had heard that Madison, Wisconsin had these great Halloween parties. So I went up to Madison, Wisconsin on State Street, and it was crazy. And walked into a record store and bought Document right when it came out. And that, you know, I put the needle on when I, or maybe it was a CD. I put the CD on, and that Finest Work song intro, just, I was hooked within 10 seconds. And I had friends that already liked the band, so I knew that, you know, I probably would like them, but I didn't know I would like them that much. So that record really pulled me in, and I think that was the same for Mike, and then went backwards. There was that eponymous release that was their kind of like wrap-up gift with IRS Records that pulled those songs back in, you know, into my consciousness for the first time. Talk about The Passion in particular was just, I just couldn't believe how powerful that song was. And so going back, there was a number of songs on Murmur that I actually wasn't that familiar with, particularly the last three. And that's just, you know, being a young person listening to records in that way.
Mm-hmm. Running out of, patience.
Yeah.
Or you just like the beginning so much, you just play that over and over.
So killer, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, it was like, so I grew up in Kentucky, and I had a cousin that lived out in the sticks in a trailer. And I would go visit him sometimes on the weekends. My mom would take us out there because my grandma lived out there too. And I would just, when I got there, I'd go in his room. And he loved comic books. We'd sit and look at comic books and stuff. And then one day he had a tape player, and he started playing the cassette of Document. And I was like, whoa, wait, what's this? It's like, oh, it's been REM. So I really, I have my cousin Tommy to thank for that, although I'm sure I would have found them eventually. But and then, you know, when I was in high school, I guess one of my favorite pastimes was kind of shuffling around, listening to my CD Walkman player. Half the time probably it was an REM CD in there. And, you know, it wasn't like music that you play at the kegger or whatever. It was kind of a solitary thing. And I found it comforting, you know. I was kind of a loner, and it seems to appeal to that type of personality.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astepro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi.
I don't know if you, Michael, know where Litchfield is. That's actually where I'm from, down closer to Bowling Green. And
I lived in Bowling Green for a couple of years. Yeah.
Well, it's just right. It's just north of Bowling Green. And for those sections, and I know you sort of had that Chicago connection too, but for music to find, you know, any of us in the middle of nowhere was always, and it wasn't until really the Monster record, and I was in school and someone at the bus put the headphones over my ears from behind and Bang and Blame was one of the songs playing.
Wow. But
that's what I started thinking about. It was like, especially in those pre-internet days for both of you, you know, for music to find you,
yeah,
you know, and for the right music to find you. I don't know how you guys look back on that, but to me, it's like, thank God, you know, what a great stroke of luck any of those moments could have been for us.
Of course, of course. But, you know, I think that one of the things that's interesting about REM is without being like country or bluegrass or any sort of Appalachian rural kind of music, it still is very Southern music. Like those guys, they're very Southern and they're very like, you know, they're still in Athens all the time. So it's fascinating to me because it's Southern music without being like any genre of music that you associate with the South, which is interesting, but it like, it suits the landscape somehow, like being out in the middle of nowhere, this music is a soundtrack for that, you know?
When you now dive into it, and Jason, you were kind of talking about, you know, having to discover some songs for the first time, which is fun, but I was thinking about like there are moments on here like 9-9, you know, as a guitarist. Like, are you finding those moments, is it challenging in any way? Because I when I hear that, I'm like, man, what a fun song that is. Anyway,
I think it helped, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was this whole thing is a bit of a pop-up band. You know, Mike and I have been doing shows like this for about 10 years, and we just pick a record and then we rehearse once and do the show. It's real by the seat of our pants. But there's a lot of communication, and particularly when a song like that comes up, there has to be a lot of communication. And I don't remember who brought it up, but somebody said, it might have been John Worster, who said, you know, I looked up video of the band playing that song, and every time it was pretty rough. And that gave me a little bit of breathing room where I was like, all right, we'll be fine. You know, as long as we end at the same time, you know.
For the same thing, you know, Mike, Michael, like Stipe was infamous for mumbling those lyrics. And even me, even Radio Free Europe, as I was going back and thinking about this interview and going, you know, and listening to that song and watching you guys perform it on Seth Meyers and hearing you very crystal clear in a way I don't think I ever heard Stipe going, I never knew those were the words to that song. Like, did you have any issues with that?
To be fair, I'm not sure that they are, you know, I mean, I'm saying you go, I mean, any record we do, my approach is to A, listen to the record at least 100 times, if not more. And then B is to go online and do what any boob could do, basically, is look up all the lyrics on like Genius or A to Z. And sometimes they don't, depending on what site you're on, they're slightly different. And then, you know, the third part is just making a judgment call yourself and saying, well, this is what I'm going to sing because I have to sing something. But it was interesting, even, you know, if you listen to the record, I feel like when I'm looking at the lyrics online and listening to the record that it actually makes sense. But what's curious about it is then you watch Stipe performing it live and he's saying something different. Like, particularly with Radio Free Europe, one of the things I watched a lot was their first performance on Letterman, where they played Radio Free Europe and South Central Rain before it even had a title. And it's an incredible performance. But yeah, what Stipe's singing on in that performance is different than what's on the record. But, you know, I had the fortune to talk to Mike Mills about it a little bit. And he said, yeah, you know, Michael would, things would just come out, you know, it wasn't. And frankly, I think that's kind of interesting, as opposed to some, I think it speaks to where the music comes from, that it's not like a calculated thing, you know, that they're really, particularly Michael was really digging, looking for something, and he wasn't quite sure what it was. And I think that's very brave to go about it that way, as opposed to having it all your T's crossed and your I's dotted all the time.
Yeah, he's very much, I mean, he's done so many interviews over the years about, you know, cause he's a collage style lyricist. You know, he looks in his books and he finds phrases that sound good and those become the songs, and, you know, that old William Burroughs sort of way. And it's he's one of my favorite lyricists because of that, but it's also hilarious to ever ask him what the song's about, because most of the time it's, the fuck do I know what that's about? It sounds good.
Well, I think it's about something different for everybody who listens to it. You know, I think the songs, I look at them, they're evocative, and what they evoke is really, you know, it's a 50-50 split between what the song is and what's lurking in your, you know, subconscious, which again is the kind of art I typically respond to, whether it's music or film or visual art or anything, really.
Yeah, I was thinking about how REM over the years did such a great job of not only making great records for so long, but associating themselves with great bands and great artists. And so I wonder if in that process, and this was during a time when people released records every year or more than once a year, that they would just listen and go, it sounds good. You know, like not, hey man, go write some more lyrics or something. Like their judgment for so long has been so strong that I wonder if that was part of it. It's like, is this done? Yeah, it sounds great. You know, regardless of like, what are you saying there? You know,
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi. And even, I mean, you both talk about them taking chances. I mean, even, you know, one of their biggest songs with Losing My Religion, that's Peter Buck learning to play the mandolin right there. And, you know, can we get away with a riff this simple? Was never even questioned. Like, here it is.
No chorus. Yeah, no chorus even.
No chorus at all. You know, that's amazing. And for what it's worth, so you guys are playing more than Murmur, right? You're playing other, is it all 80s songs? Or are you doing, what's the deal with the whole show?
Well, Murmur's a short record. And we knew going into it that we didn't want to leave people high and dry. So there's a stable of songs that we'll have at our disposal. You know, the first two shows, February 1st and 2nd at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, we're actually playing Murmur on the 1st and we're playing Reckoning on the 2nd. So we're going to learn Reckoning. So we'll have those songs in our arsenal. And We stay pretty far back. There's one song that's kind of more recent that we might play depending on what mood I'm in from time to time. But we're trying to keep it in the early stuff by and large, yeah. Because it's just, you know, the thing I was thinking yesterday is another sign, I think, of a really amazing band is that each of their records has its own identity and sound. And I feel that way with R.E.M. It's like every record is so distinctive and unique. And I don't want to just be like a Spotify shuffle playlist. Like I want to, and I think the other guys feel the same way. We want to stay in that neck of the woods, that early neck of the woods.
Well, I'm excited to see any of this and to hear from it. And I know I'm up against the clock. I want to quickly bring us a bit into the present just to say that, Jason, I love the stuff that you do as Split Single, and the Amplificado record was fantastic.
Oh, so, thank you, Kyle.
I'm going to hear from more of that.
Speaking of Mike Mills.
Right. And playing with, I have Bob Mould on here a lot. I'm hoping he gives us another Blue album this year, since it's an election year. That seems to be a good thing.
Yeah, that was good.
I hope that stuff's coming up. And Michael, with you, you know, I see Ray Rizzo quite a lot. You think there's any more Corporal in you?
Oh dear. You know, I mean, yeah, Ray's so busy and I'm so busy, and I've had pretty severe writer's block. I have a bunch of songs that are like half finished, and you know, I don't know, the fella that played guitar with us, Rob Beitzel, moved out to LA. We haven't seen him in years. I mean, I love playing with Ray. I miss playing with Ray. If the stars align, and you know, the thing about Corporal is it kind of came into being at a time where I was unemployed for a certain period of time. So it that's kind of what allowed it to happen. So we'll see. We're, you know, Ray's in like 20 bands, you know, he's a busy fella. Yeah.
Keep himself busy.
Yeah.
Just the same, I'm such a fan of what both of you all do and all of your arts. And it's so fun, you know, to geek out about one of the greatest bands of all time with R.E.M. I'm so happy you guys are doing this. But especially thank you both for taking the time to talk about it today. Seriously, it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks,
nice
Kyle.
Nice to finally talk to you, Kyle. Have a great day.
And my thanks to Michael and Jason. Their tour to play R.E.M.'s Murmur running of February 1st through the 14th. Thanks, of course, to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can hear all the interviews just like this. You get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on those favorite artists. And discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can grab us at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and don't forget to give the series a rating. Leave a review as well. That, again, goes so far to help out the series here. After that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Lots of 90s. You get, lots of music news. There's bonus interviews. One of my recent shows featured the music of The Supremes, Trey Burt, Cocteau Twins, Air, The Smiths, Mavis Staples, Allo Black, Rage Against the Machine, Ben Folds 5, Teenage Fan Club, Queens of the Stone Age, Wax Fang, MGMT, a lot of Miles, Matthew Sweet, Sparta, Mitski, Blondshell, Boy Genius, and my interview with actor Omar J. Dorsey, as we discussed his new show on HBO Max called Bookie. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, you know, I'm from Lexington, you know.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.